Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Hey y'all, welcome to the first episode of Jesse's Fireside Chats. We've all heard many politicians, including Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, talking about how great it would be if healthcare was universal. By universal, they mean taxpayer-funded. While Bernie Sanders would want you to believe that Canada and Scandinavia are heaven on earth because they have, among other things, universal healthcare, the truth of the matter is that universal healthcare would solve none of the problems that it claims to and would only cause more problems and exacerbate existing ones. So buckle your seatbelts. Today's episode is called Medicare for None. The first problem with universal healthcare is that it would be very inefficient. Anything the government funds is very inefficient. A prime example of this is Social Security, with many people being on it that don't need it, and many people who need it being denied because of red tape and other factors. And you can only imagine that universal healthcare would also be extremely inefficient, especially when you consider the fact that in Canada, with a population of roughly 40 million, probably less than that, people find it impossible to get a doctor's appointment because everything is always booked. That's what I've heard from people who have fled from Canada. And in Britain, which I'm not sure what the exact population figures are for the time being, but for the sake of argument, it's probably between 50 and 60 million. And their healthcare system is so inefficient that there was a big scandal like a year or two ago about how the NHS was causing for people to have to sit in the hospital, even if they'd been brought by ambulance, and wait for hours before they could be seen. We can only imagine that in the U.S., where the population is at least 330 million, but the true population is not known because we've had many, many illegal immigrants come in over the course of especially the last 3 years, and you've also got people who have been living here their whole lives but don't participate in the census. So we don't really know what the exact population is. But if it's at least 330 million, that is several times larger even than the populations of Britain and Canada combined. And so, especially with the U.S. not having nearly as much uninhabited space as Canada, you would also have all of that inefficiency spread out across a large geographic area. The other similar quandary you run into is that when it comes to considering how to structure healthcare, you have to consider three main costs. Actually, this theory applies to a lot of other sectors of the economy as well. You have to consider the quality of the goods or services received, the quantity that can be received or purchased, and the cost, what the market will be able to bear, basically. And you're always going to have to sacrifice one in order to enhance the other two. So right now you have higher costs of healthcare, but generally, not always, but for the most part, healthcare here is of better quality than, say, Uzbekistan might be, or some other little country like that that is poorer. That's why you have so much medical tourism, for example, because people come from around the world to our hospitals, and you have a lot of hospitals in this country, a lot of good hospitals even. So you have that higher quantity as well, and quality, even if the cost is also a bit high, especially for those who are uninsured. However, if the government were to start paying for everybody's health care, that balance would shift. You would then have lower cost, at least for people in the hospital directly, because then the cost would be transferred to the tax base as a whole. But you would also likely have a lower quality of care, and that lower quality of care would not only be due to more visits, but also because if hospitals cannot profit, then they cannot use that money for basic like upkeep or like staff expenses or that kinds of stuff. So then the hospitals themselves would become more run down likely and underfunded than some of them already are. So that's lower quality, and then you would probably even have lower quantity eventually, because hospitals that can't afford to keep the lights on can't stay in business. And a lot of specialized medical machinery is expensive, so if hospitals can't afford to purchase it, then it's either going to break down, or they're going to have to sell it, or they just won't be able to get it. So that's another problem with healthcare that is funded by the government. And then another problem you run into is, and this one is definitely more sinister, and could probably also go under the moral issues with healthcare as well as the inefficiency. We have an aging population, and we have fewer people having children. And this, I've heard it referred to by Ben Shapiro as an upside-down pyramid. This upside-down pyramid causes the amount of taxpayers funding the elderly people's Social Security and other retirement programs to diminish, while the amount of people claiming benefits increases. This is already putting strain on our budget, and if all healthcare is universally covered, that will only be magnified. And the problem that we're also noticing in Canada and some European countries that have universal healthcare is that the groups who are most aggressively targeted for euthanasia or medical assistance in dying, or whatever euphemism they want to use for it, are the people who are not working or paying taxes. Like in Canada, it tends to be the older people and the people who have severe disabilities like paraplegia that tend to be encouraged to sign up for this. And you can only imagine that if the government has to pay for everybody's health care, then you'll start to see a push for that here in America. And this kind of euthanasia is wrong. It's morally wrong. People are not dogs. We should not be putting people down. We shouldn't be putting people down in the sense of making them feel less than either, but this type of putting them down is much, much worse, morally. So that is another problem that you would have with universal health care. The other problem is the money. I've alluded to it before, but when the government has to spend a lot of money that it does not have, what our government likes to do is it either borrows or it prints money. Problem with both of those is they lead to inflation and more debt down the road. We're already living through the hardships of inflation, and you can only imagine that you'd have more inflation if the government suddenly took on universal health care in addition to all its other expenses. And by more inflation, I mean quite a bit. The government already spends a lot on health care that it does cover. In 2022, the government spent $944.3 billion on Medicare and $805.7 billion on Medicaid. Add those together, you get about $1,750,000,000. If for whatever reason, just for perspective, you decided you were going to fill Olympic swimming pools with $1 bills, you would need approximately, according to the nearest estimate I could find, also I got those numbers from CMS.gov, I forgot to mention that. Anyway, if you were to fill Olympic-sized swimming pools with that many dollar bills, according to the nearest estimate I could find, you would need about 15,662 Olympic-sized swimming pools to hold that many $1 bills, and you would still have about 0.41 pools worth of dollar bills left over. That is an expensive art installation. Anyway, the government is already under enormous strain from the three biggest programs, Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. We already spend more on the interest on our debt than we do on defense. That should be alarming to anybody, even people who did not go to school for economics, such as yours truly, and even people who have a very surface level of economic literacy should be concerned about that much debt. I didn't even look up what the current debt figure is, but as of like a year or two ago, it was $34.7 trillion. And you can only imagine that if the government paid for all of our health care, including even people that came over from other countries to seek health care, as I mentioned earlier, that is a thing that happens, the debt would probably go through the roof even more than it does now. But leaving aside the money, the inflation, the debt, the inefficiency, the impossible, impossibly long wait times for doctor appointments, leaving all of that aside, there are still moral issues with universal health care. Not only with the potential that the government might start pushing certain groups to end their own lives, but also the fact that you are forcing people to give. We already have that in a lot of our other taxpayer-funded programs, but that doesn't make it right. True generosity is not forced. Generosity cannot be genuine if there's a gun to your head. If you are on the street and you have gone to the grocery store and you have a gallon of milk and some guy walks up to you, puts a gun to your face and says, "Give me that milk," and you give him the milk, that's not a generous act. That is what most of us would do in that situation. You are doing what you've been coerced to do. And that's basically what happens when the government forcibly takes your money and spends it. You gave them the money because you had to, because otherwise you'd go to jail. And so when these politicians talk about we just need to move on from private insurance, as Harris is on video saying in 2019, or that we should all just pay our taxes towards this universal health care, what they're really talking about is forcing you and me to give to the healthcare costs of strangers. And as I alluded to earlier, the government is not the best at knowing who is really in need and who is not. I am all for giving to somebody in your community who has cancer, or, you know, just broke their leg, or they were in a tornado and they got hurt and they lost everything as well, and they need help. But if the government forces you to give to somebody you don't even know, then you have no say in whether or not you contribute to that person's healthcare costs, even for things that most of us would agree are problematic. I mean, there is nothing stopping somebody then who has trouble with impulse control from deciding to do daredevilish stunts like jumping off a building, because now they know they can't have to pay the consequences for those actions, because if they survive, at least the government will pay for their health care. Now, I'm not saying that we don't have people doing stupid stuff now, but what I'm saying is you'll have more of that if people no longer have to pay for the consequences of their actions, or rely on somebody else to pay for them. Who can say no? That's not even going to be the vast majority of cases, but it's at least something we should consider. And then you also have to consider that if we're all forced to give to this giant healthcare pot, then you can only imagine that the same elites who support universal healthcare and then also support, you know, abortion and performing surgeries on gender-confused people, even children, will obviously want some of that healthcare money to go towards those programs. And so even if we find that to be problematic, we would then be forced to give to that, forced to fund it. That is a problem. And I mean, those are even things that some of us, myself included, would not say should be classified as healthcare. If you walk into your doctor's office with your perfectly healthy two legs and you say, I want you to cut my leg off, we would hope that the doctor would say, no, I'm not going to do that. And we would hope that if you walked into a doctor's office with your seven-year-old and said, I want to kill my seven-year-old because I don't want to feed him anymore, it's my body, my choice, the doctor would hopefully not take you up on that and would call CPS or something, because that's definitely child abuse at best. So there's no reason why performing a surgery on a gender-confused person to remove certain parts, or performing a murder of a child in the womb, should be any different. But you know that the same elites who want us all to pay for everybody's health care would want those kinds of procedures covered in that health care spending. So to recap, the problems with universal health care are that it is incredibly inefficient, it would increase debt and inflation, it is a gateway to a lot of coercion, more coercion than we already experience, and especially coerced giving towards immoral acts. I hope you've enjoyed this episode, or at least become more informed by it, and I hope you will follow Jesse's Fireside Chats wherever you get your podcasts, and share it with friends or family who might be interested or could use some more information on these topics. On each episode, I will be covering an issue or a phenomenon or a philosophy that I notice that needs attention. And I hope you'll stay around for the ride. Have a blessed day.